hospitality. You know, hospitality is a great part of our Father's very ministry itself. And the word in the Greek is an interesting word. It means to entertain. I'm going to use the word non-believers. The word would be stranger, but it means somebody that doesn't believe. This is the way the word spreads. It's for Christians not to be afraid, inasmuch as Father has armed you with truth, with understanding, that you're able to reach out to entertain truth to a troubled soul. So we're going to take that word, hospitality, the very thought of it. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to talk a little about the gifts, beginning with verse 6, that God gives certain peoples. And with that word of wisdom from Him, Romans chapter 12, verse 6 reads, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." And as it is written, in the end times, both sons and daughters, there's going to be prophecies. That is to say, when the Spirit speaks through His children, as it's written in Mark chapter 13. What he's saying here, in a way, you're all kind of different. Don't let that stop you, and don't let that be a burden to you. In other words, God has many jobs to be done, and He has different people to do different jobs. And no one should ever be jealous or worry about another person's position or job, that God has given them a gift, which is called charisma in the Greek, to make it work. In other words, if God gives you charisma, it's going to work for you. He'll see to it. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is..." Oh, we got that. Seven. "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching." In other words, until you're ready to teach, don't teach. Now, there'd be another way to put that. If you have no knowledge and you don't know what to teach, you're not much of a teacher, are you? So you always forearm yourself with the Word of God, whereby you have something to teach before you can teach. "Or he that exhorteth," that's to say a speaker, "on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence," that means earnest, being earnest in what he does. "He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." This thing is thick and so forth. Let it always be a pleasure and uplifting to those that you come in contact with. "Let love be without dissimulation." That is, let it be real. Okay. Don't ever put on. If you don't have it, you don't have it. So don't pretend you do. Okay. "Abhor that which is evil." Always put yourself aside from that. "Cleave to that which is good." In other words, you kind of cull it out and separate and spiritually discern what is good and what is not, and follow accordingly in life. "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." This word "preferring" is a difficult Greek word to translate. It means to lead on, okay, to lead out, to step out. In other words, if God gives you something, don't be afraid to take a step forward with it to those that you love, to share it with them. Don't hide your light under a bushel. And don't never hold back from being a leader. If it's your moment, if it's your gig, your thing that God has given you, lead out. Okay. Never back away from that. That shows the love for your neighbor or your brother. When God has given you something, if you're willing to share it, that's hospitable. Okay, that's sharing. And so, verse 11, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." In other words, don't be lazy in business. Don't, you know, a lot of people think that the world owes them a living. They'll open a business And if someone comes in, you don't want to be one of these who says, "What do you want?" You know, that won't get you very far. Okay. You know, whereas if you show a little hospitality and say, "May I be of help to you? What can I do for you today?" You know, you have to be lively and be a real Christian in believing in what you do if you want to be successful. And then, you see, the beauty of all this is if you obey your Father and these instructions come from Him, if you obey Him, He's going to see that it works. You don't have any problem. I said, He's going to see that it works if you do it His way. And if you operate your business, your profession, or whatever it might be, you do it cheerfully. You step out there and lead, okay? Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. That's to say, when things are not going right, don't get all shook up. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise, okay? There's a reason for it. Think it through. Reason it out. Continuing instant in prayer. When it gets a little bit rough, ask Father to help you with it. If you don't quite understand, ask Him to help you. Okay? That's what He's there for. Okay? He loves it when you call on Him. But naturally, you have to believe. Tribulation is something you're going to have in this world. You know why? Because there's a controversy between Satan and God. And that controversy is going to be there, and the weak are going to give in to the easy path. Just so I get by, that's all. That's not good enough for a Christian, okay? Just to get by. That won't cut it, okay? You have to joyfully serve Him, okay? 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. That means a Christian must be one that is willing to entertain. Now, I'm not talking about in your home necessarily or anything. I'm talking about entertaining a non-believer with the knowledge that you have that they need. Okay, that helps them. Do you understand? It can change lives. You could never imagine how many letters that this ministry receives from all around the world for people saying, "You have changed my life." Only it isn't you that changed the life. The Word of God changes lives. Okay? Gives dignity, a purpose. Everyone must have a purpose or you're kind of floating loose. You got nothing going for you. If you don't have a purpose, then you're driven to that, cheerfully, serving Him. Because with that comes His blessings. And that's what this word hospitality means, is that you take what you have, that truth, that knowledge, and when a person is hungry for that word, for that truth, you're not ashamed to lead out, to step on out and give them a word of encouragement. Or if they're ill, to pray for them if they ask. Okay, anoint them with the oil of our people and raise them up. Let the Father raise them up. Okay, but that's what true hospitality is. Okay, and that's what it's very much a part of God's very ministry. Is even God's hospitality, because God Himself. Why do I say part of God's hospitality? He puts up with you. He entertains you. He gives you His word. He loves you. He leads you. He entertains you when you ask. So He is so hospitable in caring for you and loving for you that like father, like child, and some of it's got to rub off on you, whereby you're a blessing to people that are around you. Well, because you're willing to share that truth, that knowledge, that surety that He gives you, that comfort. So that's why we're here, is that hospitality. The very base of Father's ministry, in a sense, and yours also. Always lead out. when you see somebody that needs and God has given you that charisma, that gift, then put it to work. Okay. Don't be afraid to use it. Well, I don't have a very big gift. There's no such thing as a little gift. Okay. I mean, it's from God. And it's important. It's something our people need. They need the little things as well. Little things are important. You get somebody that just wants to grab the big stuff, okay, then you're going to have some people that will be disappointed occasionally. You got to get down in low gear occasionally and think of the little things that people need and want. Okay. So there you have it, and there you have hospitality in that 13th verse. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. In other words, if somebody persecutes you for teaching God's word, don't worry about it. You've got somebody that's going to handle it, okay? I don't mean to let somebody abuse you now. That's a little different here, okay? But when they just call you names and or talk about the ministry, just give a little slack. God is going to pull their chain and just hope that it isn't the one that flushes it, okay? God takes care of His own. You can count on it, okay? Rejoice, 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. When some member in your friendships is hurting, hurt with them. Okay. You know, you as a Christian, you do that. When somebody loses someone or when somebody is ill, you can't help hurting with them. That brings on prayer again, where you pray for them and you reach out. You see, that's hospitality also, is sharing in one's emotions. And if they're happy about something, hey, I got a job and I'm making twice what you do. Well, praise God, okay? Don't be jealous, okay? That's if somebody can, they're not going to say that, but I just throw that in to show you how mankind can kind of get involved if they're not real careful. Be happy and cheerful for one that's happy, okay? Be happy for our people that do good. Do you know why you can be? Because God's blessing them. It's your Father. Therefore, through Him, you're a part of it. That hospitality goes a long, long way. It's called believing and serving, okay? Verse 16, be of the same mind, be in harmony, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think that you know everything. And someone is just beginning. Don't be afraid to go down where they are, the little things, and help them with it. Okay? You know, if a person is brand new in studying God's Word, it is not important for you to show them how much you know. That's not going to help them. Okay? The only thing that helps them is for you to go down where they are, think on their level, and bring them up to where you are. Okay? In other words, how much you know sometimes can sink their boat. You're going to be boring to them if you dump. You overload their donkey, okay? They can't handle it. So you've got to be with them. You've got to love them enough that one on a lower level of thinking that you can go there and help them. Do you know why you can really do that if you'll just be patient? Because you were there also. You were there. There's been a time when you didn't know and you were groping for truth and understanding. So you can afford to go there and have love for that one and bring them up. Okay. Little things are important. And we could say little people are important, but they're all God's children. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, you take thought before you act on things. Now, there's a reason why you don't have to worry about recompensing. Why? Verse 18, if it be possible, now I want you to underline that in your mind. If it be possible, because sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it is absolutely not possible to what? As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. With some neighbors, it's not possible. Why? They're so far out in left field that you can't reach them. And they'll abuse you. They'll take advantage of you. Now, this is why you have to take the word and understand it. You can't be abused. Okay. I could even throw a parable or two or a thought within this. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Okay. It's not going to do any good. There are some people you cannot help. Okay. Do you know why you cannot help some people? Because they will not help themselves. And when they come to that point, you just got to let them go to the devil and let him straighten them out. He'll do it. He'll take them down so low they'll finally say, "Air, help me." Okay. Then maybe they would listen. Okay. But this is why a Christian really needs to know that verse. If it be possible, get along. That means you can bend and bend and bend. If they're coming along, you can really give. If it's paying dividends, if they're coming along, if you can get along with them, then that's fine. But if they are like some people you know, hey, don't cast your pearls before swine. 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You can believe that. Now, again, you don't let somebody beat you up physically. You knock them on their coon dog if they try something like that. But as far as just, you know, if somebody badmouths you, don't worry. God will take care of it. He'll bring it right back on their head. I've seen it over and over and over. Whatever comes out of their mouth will come down on their head. God will see to it when you're one of his elect. That's why you don't have to take vengeance. That's why you don't have to worry a great deal about avenging. Again, I'm going to emphasize, that doesn't mean you have to let somebody run over you now. That's not what it's talking about. Therefore, verse 20, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, the word of God, if he'll listen. If he thirst, give him drink. What's the living water? For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I mean, you're going to shame him. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the way it works, my friend. That's hospitality. And if it be possible, like I said, a Christian's got to use spiritual discernment. There are some people in this world that are so bound to Satan that you can't help them. You can't draw them loose. Don't ever get on a guilt trip over that. Okay. And simply help those that need help, that will accept help. That's hospitality. That's sharing the gift that God has given you. Always protect your credibility. You know, a lot of people get on one of these spiritual trips, you know, and they'll make up tracks or something and get out in people's way and try to force feed them. That won't work. That's not of God. In the first place, your credibility just went down the tubes, okay? Because they're not going to listen to you. In your daily life, God will send enough people to you that need help if you're paying attention. And in a gentle, hospitable way, you're going to help them. You're going to lead them. Okay, let's go to Titus, right after Timothy. Little bitty short book. Book of Titus, chapter 1. Titus means protected. Okay. Let's pick it up with verse 7. This is for a Christian in his daily life. We're going to use the word bishop, all right, but that's all right. You're a bishop of your own life. Okay. Verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. That's to say, not just interested in money. I'm in it for the money. Okay? That doesn't cut it. You won't find a real servant of God that is indebted to any of those things. Okay. 8, but a lover of hospitality. There's our word again. That means sharing. Sharing the truth. Sharing the word of God. A lover of good men. Now, did it say a lover of men? It said a lover of good men. There's no gender there. It means good men and good women. Sober, just, holy, and temperate. These are good qualities. I wish I could say that everybody that served Christ come to this mark. No, it's good to shoot at. But sometimes our tempers and so forth, Irish people like myself have a terrible time sometimes. Not very often. But sometimes Irish can just really lose it, you know, for 5 minutes. And then they hate themselves, okay, because they made a fool out of themselves, okay. So you have those moments, then repent and get back in the traces and start working, okay. Holding fast the faithful word, that's what's important. As he hath been taught that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. How do you do that? What is sound doctrine? The Word of God. When you fortify yourself and arm your mind with the good doctrine of Almighty God, you're ready to war with the controversy that dwells between Satan and Almighty God. You're a fit servant. You're worthy of your hire. That is to say, the love of God that you can produce and even go against the gainsayers. That's to say that those that would twist and go, try to turn people to false doctrines, because you know the real doctrine. That's to say the doctrine of Christ. 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, those that claim to be legalists. Okay. We have to do this the legal way. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. I mean, ill-gotten gains. How silly some legalists can be? Nothing. Now, what is it we're supposed to eat on Passover? Let's kill a lamb. You missed the whole boat, friend. The lamb has already died on the cross. And that's sacrilegious, what you're saying. You could destroy the whole unit because it's blasphemy to shed any blood other than the blood of Christ that paid for those prices. Okay, I'm just giving you that little example so that you can wire in and see what he's talking about here. Verse 12, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. 13, this witness is true. They truly are. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Don't be afraid if you're gifted in no truth, if somebody's trying to teach your family something false, block it. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, not commandments of God, commandments of men that turn from the truth. It destroys people. It pulls them away from God. There's no hospitality about that, I assure you. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. I mean, you either have the truth and you hang on to the Word of God as it is written, or you really got not much of anything other than falseness, and then you're going to pretty soon wonder, well, I love God, why doesn't He bless me? Because you're stupid. That's, you know, He'll still love you, but He sure doesn't love what you're doing. The simplicity of the Word. Don't let somebody pull you away from it, okay? They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. They'll, you know, you got to spot somebody like that, and you got to push them out, okay? Because they'll destroy a good work. You don't have to push them out. God will, okay? You just pray about it. And in my 50 years of ministry, I've only had to tell two people to hit the road, Jack, okay? And they had problems, big problems, okay? But other than that, God is always taking care of things. He always does. And that's wonderful. Why? He's good to us. Let's go to 1 Peter, if we may. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 1. Chapter 4, 1 Peter. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. In other words, you know what Christ was crucified for. You know how He suffered in the flesh. You know that you are in Him, and it should save you a lot of error. Okay? You know where to go and where not to go. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. It's real easy if you follow the lust of men and forget the Word of God. You're blind then. In other words, what happens automatically? God cuts off the blessings. You just have to know how important that is. Without God's blessings, you're in a heap of hurt. Okay? Especially in this generation. I'm telling you, it's so very important that you have His blessings. Why? Because He's looking out for you. Watching over you. Verse 3. For in time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revilings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. In other words, before we knew the truth, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. In other words, sometimes you got to be careful of old friendships. They'll come over and have a joint, okay, or we'll go to the joint, whichever. No. Don't need to go there, okay? And they're going to talk about you for, they're going to say, well, they really got to be a holy Joe. No, you just got wise, okay? Why? Because you sought God's blessings. It's the most important thing right now is to have His blessings. It's everything, okay? Verse 5, who will give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Who's going to give, you know, quick and the dead means the living and the dead. That's those that have already passed away and are in paradise, so to speak. Who's going to judge them? You know who's going to judge them. It's your Father. That's why you better want His blessings. You better realize how important they are, because He judges you. And you know something? He has a little book, and your name is in it, and He keeps the record, okay, and of who He blesses and who He doesn't. So He doesn't forget, in other words. Verse 6, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now, That's a deep statement, and you got to understand it. Okay, that's how fair your father is. Why would he preach to the dead? Well, those that died before Christ paid the price, they didn't have the opportunity of salvation like you do today. All you have to do is believe that he's the only begotten Son of Almighty God, and that you believe he's real, that you follow him and love him. They didn't have that opportunity. I'm saying like Noah. Noah didn't have that opportunity. Because Christ hadn't died on the cross, salvation wasn't there. So wouldn't God be a little unfair if he had not sent Christ back to teach to those while he was yet in the tomb who had never heard the word taught by the Savior? And many of them were freed. Many of them believed. That's why your Father is always fair. That's true hospitality, my friend. You won't find a better example of it, that God is not shows no partiality among his children, living or dead, quick or living. He's always fair. That's something to really love him for, okay? Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The elect generation is almost to an end. That's why it's so important to have God's blessings at this time. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Do you know that? You do something good, and it even covers the sins, ones you might have even forgot to repent about, but then when you say, I repent of all my sins, you do. Okay? But God loves you. When you're charitable, that is to say, when you do good works for him, it does cover a lot of hard feelings from past times. 9, use hospitality. There's that word again. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. In other words, don't complain about helping somebody. Help them because you love them. Share with them. This word begins with philo, which is love. Okay. Philadelphia is brotherly love, okay? Philo Oxymus is this particular word, which is to say hospitality. And not being afraid to share with a non-believer. Don't grudge, ever, when someone asks you a question about our Father. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, there's that charisma, okay? It's the gratuity of God, okay? Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How precious our Father is that he evenly teaches people from the time of the beginning, Adam and Eve and those on the sixth day, all the way up till today. He loves them the same. That is to say, if they follow him. And he blesses them. Again, hospitality brings back the blessings of God in your life and on your family. And in truth, then you're a blessed family. Boy, it makes a big difference today when so many people are in the jungle of confusion, wondering what's happening. Not knowing when people are giving false information, when you have to worry and when you don't. You don't have to worry. Things are not, you know, things are real good for Christians. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. Okay, let's go to the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. There is a reason that our Father can be generous with you, and that you likewise can be hospitable because of what God has done for you. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Verse 18 reads, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This is that time he's coming as Antichrist. And don't ever let anyone tell you different. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in and to this generation, the generation of the fig tree. 19, behold, I give unto you power. That's dunamis, dynamite. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you understand that? Do you get it? God has given you power over all your enemies. In what name? In the name of Jesus Christ. So you can afford to be hospitable. You can, why? Because you have power. When you believe, when you have His blessings, you don't have to fear anything. Especially don't let politicians shake you up, okay? You're wiser than that. Verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. That's not the main thing to rejoice about. That the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You're in the book, and you're in good standing. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, that is to say, wise in the ways of the world, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. In other words, you have done this for Christians, not people of the world. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He's revealed him to you through the Holy Spirit. He's touched you. He's blessed you. And you can hang on to that, never fearing anything and knowing you have His blessings. And He turned him unto His disciples and said privately, who's He talking to? Always rightly divide the word. He's talking to His students here. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. This is why the prophets and kings even wanted to live today, when these events are consummating and bringing about the end of this age. Okay, what an exciting time to live and to practice hospitality while you're doing it. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Now, don't read over that. This is not a friend, okay? This man has devious reasons. He's trying to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. How does God handle it when somebody tries to tempt the Son? Well, watch it. Watch it. Tempt him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Question. You know, a babe knows that, don't they? But this lawyer didn't, okay? 26. And he said unto him, what is written in the law? Question. Christ always answers with a question. How readest thou? You're a lawyer. You tell me. And naturally, he's going to quote Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18, which he was a fit lawyer. And he answered, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right. I mean, that's the scripture. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, the lawyer is not finished. Okay. Again, he's trying to set him up. And let this be a lesson to you, that many people will try this on you. They'll try to trip you up. As long as you stick with the Lord Almighty's word, you don't have anything to worry about. Look and observe, okay? But he, willing to justify himself, his wickedness, said unto Jesus,
And
who is my neighbor? Question. How are we going to handle this? Always cutting, see? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a dangerous road. And he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Bonnie, there he's laying in the ditch, and I mean he's in bad shape. Okay. And he's a good man. 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest, preacher, that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Oh, dear. Oh, these sinners. Oh, why do sinners bother me? Why do sinners get in my way? And away he goes. And this is a priest. But just in case you might think it was some heathen priest, let's read on. 32. And likewise a Levite. Uh-oh, now we know what kind of priest we got here. We got a priest of God, supposedly. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Oh, these sinners. Oh, what they do to themselves. Well, he didn't do it to himself. There were thieves got him, and the priests and Levites, lucky that they didn't get them too. Okay. But do you call this hospitality? Of course not. They're not even giving them the time of day. They wouldn't even give them a drink of water. They wouldn't even check and see if they were in danger of dying. And these are supposedly men of God. 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He cared. You know, Jesus picked this Samaritan because there was great hard feelings between Israel and the Samaritans. Okay? Big time. Okay. But just to show you who your neighbor is, by action, not by title. Okay. Not priest, preacher, prophet, or something else. It's what you do. He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. 34. And he went to him and bound up his wounds. And he poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now, that's compassion. That you can count on, okay? That is showing what a true neighbor is. Not some preacher, not some priest that left him there to die, but just a plain old Samaritan business person had it in his heart to do this. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay you. This 2 pence is a denarius, which is a day's salary at that time. Day's salary, as you read in Revelation, it'll buy you 1 loaf of bread when times get rough. But if you have been wise, you've already got bread put aside anyway, okay? But here, that's compassion, okay? Verse 36, which now, Jesus asking the question, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Here you got the scripture lawyer all hung out to dry, okay? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. And of course, that he would do. Now, that, my friend, is true caring. That's true compassion. That is hospitality. When he was on a busy business trip, but he took that time, and Christ does this. But at the same time, in that same chapter, he assured you that you have power over all your enemies in his name. And when you use what he put up here between your ears, common sense, when you think things through, and when you do it his way, and when you ask his help, you've got nothing to worry about. You can afford to justify. You can afford, certainly, to practice that is hospitable, that hospitality. Wow, you're so blessed. You can certainly afford it. And that's what he's letting you know, that your charitable acts, that is to say what you do to help your brethren and others, it covers a multitude of sins and puts you in good standing with him. He's going to take care of you. Those little things you were concerned if it was going to work out right or going to work out just fine, you know why? He's going to see to it. I believe that with all my heart. I truly do. I've lived it. I know it. Okay. You know, a lot of people don't recognize miracles when they see them, but a little church in Northwest Arkansas that started out in a roller rink with 120 people, well, they didn't even have 120 at the start, grew to be one of the largest membership independent church in America. Like I said, we don't advertise that. I guess we just did. And I guess I did last week twice too. But anyway, we don't blow our horns about that because we didn't do it. We couldn't have done it. But he could. And not only he could, but he did. And we thank him for that. And we owe him the fact that we can share that truth around the world, changing lives, his word changing lives, to help people to justify themselves and to certainly practice that brings out his love and his wonderful works in his children. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of being allowed to serve you. Let each of these be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father, having power over Satan himself in the name of Jesus Christ, that they can go into this world sharing your word with those that need the truth, especially in this time. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the thanks in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free...